Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News. This past weekend marked the 40th anniversary of the Midsummer Music Festival in Smithers, one of Northwest BC's most prestigious and longest-running concert gatherings of the summer. Over 3 days, Midsummer offered some of the biggest headlines from the past 40 years and a slice of homegrown talent with the return of the world-renowned Beatniks, the MIP Power Trio, and of course, Grammy Award winner and Smithers' own Alex Cuba. But after 40 years, what keeps the Midsummer Music Festival hip and relevant? Where does it go from here, and what mark has it left on Northwest BC culture? We'll dive into that and more with stories from the past 40 years as the first generation of organizers passes the torch to those that grew up on Midsummer, or as some simply and affectionately refer to as festival. Stay with us.
I'm Amy Stokes, and we're at Midsummer Festival.
We refer to it as festival.
Yeah, so, or just Midsummer. That's the other one.
Or Midsummer, yeah.
Yeah.
So what is it about festival, Midsummer, that sets it apart from other festivals?
Well, I think one of the things that we have here is that this is our 40th annual, and it's actually one of the longest standing music festivals in all of BC, which I don't think a lot of people know that, and that's pretty cool. It takes a ton of folks dedicated to their volunteer hours and organization. We start our work actually in the very early winter months to be able to put on a festival of this size, and a lot of communication, collaboration, and effort across the board. And in that also, it brings together community and builds relationships, which I think is a really fantastic part of what we got going on here.
One of the things that seemed to come up over and over again yesterday was this is more like a reunion of, you know, family. Like, I'm even seeing people I haven't seen in years, you know, and we all come to Midsummer to kind of reconnect. Tell me a little bit about that. What is kind of the scene of this? Because it's not just a music festival.
we're laughing because Nicole's on Sunday festival brain here, so I'm going to jump in and talk. Well, I think one of the things...
It happens.
Yeah, for sure. So the family aspect, I mean, we have lots of young families that come to festival, but this year in particular, our performers committee kind of took a different spin this year, and rather than seeking out a ton of new artists that might be up and coming, they went kind of back into the memory banks and pulled all of our headliners and our local regionals from folks that have had involvement in the festival over the last 40 years. And one thing that's super cool that I've seen this year is there's a lot of our people that have been involved in the festival, maybe in those first even 10 years, they moved away from the valley, they haven't been back to a festival in 20 years, and they're here now, and those connections are still going strong. And it's been really, really cool to, for myself, reconnect with those people. I would have been a pretty young kid when they would have vamoosed on to other parts of life. But here we are again in a whole new, you know, time.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
One thing you mentioned to me yesterday was, and one thing I love taking a look at is the t-shirts from the past 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat because you can see, all the different designs, and each one has its own kind of flavor of that year. But you have, I heard, you told me a quilt made of some of these. So what's captured in having a quilt made of all these t-shirts that really kind of covers the history of this festival?
Well, so the backstory there is my parents were some of the founding organizers of festival. I'm 40 and I've been to 40 festivals. This is my 40th. So this year we do a family name draw for Christmas, and my mom had my name, which happens very rarely. Our family's grown quite a bit with all the grandkids and so on, so that doesn't come around very often. So she went into the archive bin and pulled out all of hers and my dad's old shirts and sewed them into a festival quilt. So that's pretty cool. It's out front of the stage right now. Swing by, take a look, you know, sit down, have a visit. And I think it's pretty cool to have that, in the sense that there's all these memories. And like, not only is it just the logo that was there and some art that was created, but I have memories of sitting on my parents' laps while they're wearing those shirts, you know, snuggled up, tired at festival and still trying to rock on, because that's what we do, even when we're three, right? So yeah, that's pretty cool. Neat.
Right on. A couple other things. Maybe tell me a little about this year. It's 40 years, so there are, as you mentioned, some local names, some familiar names that we know. Also, you know, Alex Cuba, one of the bigger names, I guess. Grammy Award winner, and it's kind of crazy. It's a small town festival, but we have these amazing artists, amazing musicians. Yeah. But there's a really deep-rooted history and craft around that here. So, yeah. You know, what's your experience with that? And maybe tell me a little bit about some of these bands that did show up this year.
Oh, now you're going to make me go back in my memory bank. One thing I will tell you as a coordinator of the festival is you don't always get to, like, check in on all of those bands, so I may not have them front and center of my mind. We're busy in the background doing all kinds of things, but there's, like, you know, if we look at Mitt Power Trio, for example, there's a family connection there. Mark Perry would be the father, and, you know, Marie grew up just like I did in and around this festival. She's out in, you know, another province now doing her thing, and is back here for festival sharing the bill as a headliner with her dad. So, you know, there's that. And like, you had talked about Alex Cuba, and again, that's like, you know, he's a Grammy winner who also just loves our community, decided to put roots down here because his wife's connection to our community and raise up their family here. And not all small communities in northern BC have access to that. And I think it's really speaks to the tone of the festival as well, that he didn't just take on the show for himself, right? He was up there on stage with his dad, his mom, and his brother. And I just think that's so special.
Yeah, totally. It kind of encapsulated, you know, a bit of this festival in itself, right? This is more of a family affair than anything else, than just a festival. The last thing I want to just, you know, ask about is, you know, 40 years, one of the longest running, also helped spawn the Kispiox Festival, which has also turned into a long, long time local festival, music festival. Yeah. But where do we go from here? Kind of what's next for Midsummer Festival to keep it, you know, going the way that it is, and obviously having that special connection to this place here in Smithers in the Buckley Valley?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And we operate the festival from a collective standpoint. So really, it's up to our BVFMS, the Folk Music Society membership, to kind of drive where we want to go. And if there's any community members out there that have some great ideas and want to get involved, we encourage you to come forth and do that. It is a lot of work to put on a festival, but I think also one of the things that really is awesome and that we use as a great resource is some of the folks that are on our elders here that have been around for a long time, have a lot of experience, and we certainly lean into them, even if they aren't maybe as able-bodied to do some of the heavy labor that putting on a festival is. You know, they're stepping up and guiding us in other ways, and that's super cool.
All right, right on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Tina Day, and we are at the 40th Annual Midsummer Festival down here at the BVX Fairgrounds in Smithers.
Great, Tina. Thanks so much. It looks like it's a pretty sweet weekend that wrapped up or is wrapping up today. Some pretty big names last night. It was a bit of a party. Tell me a little bit about how the weekend has been going.
The weekend's been fabulous. I mean, we had the rain yesterday. It was cold, but we still had such a great turnout, and people are loving it, and every single band that's here has some kind of connection to Midsummer. So, you know, for people who've been here for all 40 of them, it's nostalgia. The kids who grew up in this festival, they remember these bands. You know, so there's been a lot of excitement over the names that we've had in it. It's just been wonderful, yeah.
Obviously, Alex Cuba was a big name that played last night with his band, a couple of local folks as well that have followed him around. Part of his band. He's playing later today, but there was a couple others that, as you mentioned, you know, haven't been heard from in a long time, kind of reuniting, so to speak, for the 40th anniversary. Maybe tell me a little bit about those bands.
Yeah, so the one that I think people were most excited about were the Beatniks. They haven't played together since, the 90s. And so this was kind of their reunion thing, and people just were astounded, and they were so appreciative of having me here. And we had such a huge crowd, like it was jam-packed down here. I don't know if you were here or not, but it was just like, yeah, everyone remembers them. So that was fabulous.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I guess what kind of goes into, planning this one? I mean, every year, we see a little bit of the same kind of layout, but, 40 years, what was kind of different about planning this one than previous years?
I think it was just the music and looking at who we're bringing in as artists and how do we represent our festival with the artists that we're bringing in and represent our 40th with the artists we're bringing in. The rest of the festival is pretty standard, just that excitement about, we did it. And we never expected it for going this long. Like, the founders never expected to go this long. They thought, we'll just want to have a party, so we'll put on one for the community. And here we are 40 years later. And one of the things that makes this so special, it is volunteer run. It's all volunteer run. And so we're one of the few festivals left who run on just manpower, and we don't pay people coordinators or anything. So,
Tina, how many festivals is this for you now, and what's kind of a standout memory from a memorable festival?
Oh, I don't know how many. I came on and off as a teenager and stuff, but I've been coming steady for the last 9 years now and been coordinator for most of that time. And you know what always stands out for me is the people. I mean, the music is great, it's fabulous, it's why we're here, but it's just walking around and seeing the people and the sense of community and being engaged, but like the volunteers that come together to put this on, the coordinators that come together to put this on, and we really are family. And to me, that's always the thing that makes me keep coming back and doing this over and over again.
Great. All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
And happy festival.
Have a good time. Please welcome to the stage, Crank It!
Megan Brady, MEGHANBRADY.
Megan, tell me about the first time you came to festival.
I just turned 40 this year. So I very much feel I could say I have been to every single music festival since the beginning. I moved away, so there's years that I've been away, so that's a total lie, actually. But I've been here since the beginning.
So basically, you were born the same time this festival started. So you've been alive as long as this festival has been around. What is it about festival that just keeps you coming back, but also it seems like this is more than a festival. It's like you're getting together with your family.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, I was going, well, it's more like a coming together of friends and family, people you haven't seen for a while. Like, almost every person that I've run into who's either from the area or who's been here for a while says, oh, I just ran into such and such, a friend that I haven't seen in 20 years, a friend that I haven't seen like since, the beginning. Yeah, so there's been some nice sort of coming back together. My dad is staying here for the weekend as well, and he's camping over with a bunch of his friends, and they've probably all known each other about the same amount of time that this festival's been going on, so that's pretty cool. But no, I was gonna tell a story. Beatniks was just playing, and I grew up coming here. Some of my like stronger memories are probably around when I was 9 years old, coming to the festival. And the Beatniks would play music, and there was like a dance group that would dance along, like they would kind of clear out the whole inside area and dance big circles around. And anyway, they were fantastic. And I was talking to one of the dancers and just said how she was sort of one of the, they were like a real like beginning core memory, the dance group and the Beatniks. So this music festival has been going on for 40 years, and I actually don't know how long the Kispiox Valley Music Festival has been going on, but this festival gave the seed money to the Kispiox Valley Music Festival and helped them get their jump start into putting on their own festival. And now they've been going for however many years, and it's going strong. And so that like core money from those folks, the fostering of relationships between communities is really important. And then there's so many people that are involved in both festivals, and it's just been a great thing.
I'm Marion Rose, and this is...
I'm George Stokes.
Now, the interesting thing is that both George and I were here in year one. I was here one, two, three of the festival. George has been here every year. And I'll say what I remember of the first three festivals is it rained every year for 3 years. We were rained out. I also remember, I think it was year one, at some point it was pouring rain, and everybody in the whole festival was on main stage. Like all of the performers, all of the audience were all on
running from the rain.
Yeah. And, you know, it was cold and it was the last day and there was so few of us that we were all on main stage. So you can see that that's a little bit past that.
The stage was smaller.
Yeah, when the stage was smaller too, yes.
To be able to use festival as a verb as opposed to just a concept, I'm very, you know, sold on that again. You know, to be able to see people, to be able to exchange greetings with the people that you sometimes only see at the festivals, but are an integral part of the festival community and the arts community. So it's great to have them back.
One thing that I so love about this festival, and I'm seeing it happen all over the place, is people being inspired. So I bet you we've got 1,000 new jugglers now. Over there, there's kids playing their compositions on the fiddle over there. And, you know, there's jam sessions. There was a blues jam session, and there's people who say, oh, my God, that trombone. I need to play the trombone. There was an instrument petting zoo yesterday, so kids got to try out numbers of instruments. And then seeing all these amazing musicians on stage, you can't help but being inspired. And that's what we want. We want more music, more musicians in the world.
George said that this was your idea to get the festival going. Why did you want to do this?
Well, that's very interesting because I can't take 100%. I can take 50% of that credit for that. So there was a bluegrass. I was fairly new to the Valley then. There was a bluegrass event that happened at Driftwood Hall. And I thought, this is so great, but there's no festival in this valley. So I went home and I thought, who the heck could I get to help me start a festival? And I thought, Kevin Whedon. So I picked up the phone and phoned him, and his phone was busy. You know what he was doing? He was phoning me with the same idea. And so Kevin and I were, you know, we did a lot of stuff in the first few years, but then we went to the Folk Music Society and asked, was it $100 we asked for?
Yep.
Yeah, we asked for $100 to help us get us started. And then George and Norma just jumped in and started helping too. So they've been here right from the beginning.
Maybe I'll ask both of you this. What's changed over the years? What's some of the highlights? George mentioned the evolution. You know, like what are, you know, one or two of the things that stand out in your mind over the years of 40 years of Midsummer Festival?
Well, the growth of the musical community in the Northwest, the original Midsummers were primarily a showcase of Northwest BC talent. And so there was a lot of interchange between, you know, a lot of communities. You know, we had a strong contingent of Prince Rupert and Terrace musicians, and Prince George, Topley had a very active community at one time when the mine was active there. And so we had acts from all over the place, and people got inspired to play. Yeah. So, you know, now it's quite a bit, you know, things have evolved to a point where we have multiple stages and, you know, big sound systems with, you know, powerful front of house speakers and six mixes in the monitors for the performers and, you know, lights and... You know, back in the day, you know, there was one switch to control the light show, and that was the incandescent bulbs, right? So, yeah, it's come a long way.
A lot of flickering of the light switches back then, I bet.
Well, maybe some overloaded circuits from time to time.
Kind of, where do you see this going? Like, you know, what is the thing that the I guess you could call it like the blood life of the festival? What keeps this place going? You know, what could we expect to see, and what do you guys hope to see this festival do in the next 40 years?
Well, I mean, it sounds kind of trite or obvious, but the blood life is music. You know, human beings need music. They need to move and dance and share music. And there's a certain skill involved to that, so you kind of need to learn music, and you need to be exposed to it. And I just want more and better and of that kind of thing. So, yes, I would like this to continue as being an event that everybody looks forward to every year.
I don't want it. Tom's
got a gig. So there's the Bulkley Valley Folk Music Society, right? And that's the umbrella organization that Midsummer falls under. Okay, and so there's also coffee houses that are done throughout the year, and youth and guitar camps that are done as well, that all fall under the umbrella. So I think that what I'd like to see in the next 40 years is a continuation of the fostering of the grassroots right through to the main stage quality artists that we have coming out of this valley. And if you support the grassroots, you're going to get the top of the crop later as well.
Just the last thing, I see the t-shirts. I always love seeing the t-shirts of past years on the wall over there. Every year I check them out, and they're the same, but I would check them out every year over and over again. They're cool. They're very cool. Yeah. I guess, you know, if there's one thing that stands out, a memorable moment from all these years, what would that be?
I don't know. I just have to say the set I just played with Roxy and Laura, that was just so much fun. Oh, I don't know, other years, so many things, you know, jamming at 3 o'clock in the morning, and Taj Mahal on the piano right beside me, and all sorts of things. Yeah, hard to say that there's so many things.
Well, I guess maybe another one. What was some of the toughest things? This is a pretty big thing to pull off, like to organize, you know, it's not a little festival. What were one of the challenges, some of the main challenges you guys had?
Reclamation of the festival to a family-friendly event from the party that it tried to become. That's the greatest thing that's happened in the meantime. We've got...
It's difficult.
Yeah, and to achieve a full spectrum of ages coming to the festival and maintaining the family atmosphere. Like, and I see this year... from babes in arms to people with blue hair that are at both ends of the age spectrum. and I'm really happy with that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com. or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.